Well, welcome, dear ones, to our main church service on this wonderful and beautiful Sabbath that's occurring on February 15, 2014. We appreciate you being here, that you have chosen to come into fellowship in unity and in love with your fellow brothers and sisters here in worshiping our God in spirit and in truth. And I also want to extend a hearty welcome to those that are on the phone and to those listening to the recorded service and to those that have tuned in to WLMR Radio. And it's a wonderful and a privilege to have you join with us today on the Sabbath. Our opening song for today's main service is entitled Beams of Heaven. And the lyrics can be found at lightministries.com/ID243.htm.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Blessed Sabbath to everyone. Beams of heaven as I go through this wilderness below, guide my feet in peaceful ways, turn my midnights into days. When in the darkness I will grope, faith always sees a star of hope, and soon from all life's grief and danger I shall be free someday. I do not know how long 'twill be, or what the future hold for me. But this I know, if Jesus leads me, I shall get home someday. Oftentimes my sky is clear, joy abounds without all tears. Though a day so bright be gone, clouds me hide, tomorrow's sun, there'll be a day that is always bright, a day that never yields to night. The streets of glory I shall behold someday. I do not know how long to be, or what the future shall get home someday. I do not know how long to be or what the future holds for me, but this I know. If Jesus leads me, I shall get home someday.
Amen. And we are indeed one day closer to heaven, one Sabbath closer to eternity with our Godhead. So Jesus is indeed coming soon. Let us get prepared. I ask you to please kneel and bow your heads for opening prayer. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much that all things are in thy hands and under your control and according to thy perfect will. We pray, Father, that your presence will continue to be in our midst, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit. Please continue to bless us from on high. Bring the atmosphere from heaven down to each one, that truly our hearts may be filled with joy and peace and light and truth and contentment, and that we will not be troubled by the things of the world or the various trials and circumstances that we're going through, but that we may truly come apart and have a wondrous feast with thee, and to fall in love with thee that much more fully. And we thank you for being here. And dear Father, we have prayers and petitions to bring before thy throne, and we thank you for already hearing these and answering these according to thy perfect will. We pray for those whom Brother Matt had mentioned who have lost everything except their own lives in a recent house fire. We pray that you will be with them, that you will strengthen them, and that you will help them to regain their lives by especially looking to you for help and comfort and peace. And thank you for doing so. Please, Father, turn this catastrophe into a blessing that brings about their salvation. We also pray for the family and the loved ones of Sister Luce. And we pray that you'll be with them in the grieving of the loss of their dear loved one. And help each one to realize how short life is, and how uncertain one day is from the next, and thus come to give their hearts fully to thee before it's too late. We also pray for Michael and Lucky and the others whom Brother Joel was able to witness to, that you will plant the seeds of truth so deeply rooted in their heart soil that the devil can't snatch them away, but that they will sprout at the proper time and bring about a new growth in a converted heart. And thank you so much for doing so. We also pray for Sister Ginger, who is snowed in, that she will remain warm and safe, as well as all the others around that part of America that are enduring the same or even worse weather problems and the trials that these inclement weather situations bring. Please protect them all and let them trust ever more fully in thee, for things are only going to get worse as the end draws near. We also pray that you'll be with those whom Brother James and Sister Lucy are able to witness to. Again, allow the seeds of truth to sprout to bring about new conversion and a precious soul snatched from the enemy into your hands. We also pray that you'll be with the individual that Sister Karina is witnessing to, and that she will continue to increase and grow in knowledge and wisdom in how to share things, and also with whom she shares them with, that many more precious souls may be truly converted and saved through her witnessing, and all of our witnessing, dear one, or dear Lord, with all of those that we're witnessing too. And thank you for allowing the seeds to sprout and grow and change. And Father, we also pray for the dear sister who recently was led into fanatical teachings on the timing of your Sabbath day, and who has then been led to give it all up and just worship God any day of the week. We pray that you'll be with her, be with her family, be with any who may be influenced by her wrong decisions. And please, if at all possible, bring her and all the others back on the straight and narrow path in accordance with your word of inspiration found in the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. And we thank you for doing everything that you possibly can to bring this about. We thank you for hearing and answering these prayers and all the prayers and petitions that have been offered here and by thy people around the world in the past. Thank you for being a God that we can come to in any time of need, with any issue, and you're there to hear us, to comfort us, and to show us the correct way to deal with the issues. Thank you for the peace and the comfort that this gives us, knowing that you're in control and that you know the end from the beginning. And even though your will may be different from what we think is best, yet you know what is best. And help us to rest in your love and allow you to work your will in our lives. We thank you for hearing and answering this prayer, for being with us, and especially for being with Sister Rose as she delivers to us the spiritual insights that you have opened her understanding to. Please open our understanding as well. And thank you for doing so. In Jesus' precious name we pray.
A happy and blessed Sabbath to one and all, and for those that are listening on the phone, and for the precious soul that will be listening to this recording on a later date. A Sabbath blessing to you as well on this February 15, 2014. We will begin our study today, and this is Series 6 of the Sanctuary of Our Body, the Third Temple. The system that will be discussed today is the respiratory system. And Sabbath blessing to all that are coming in, the dear ones coming in, Sabbath blessing. The skeleton system operates and functions like the tribe of Simeon, instrument of cruelty. Genesis 49:5 says, Simeon and Levi are brethren, instrument of cruelty, or in their habitation. On this particular system, in the history of the tribe of Simeon, you will notice that in the book of Deuteronomy, they are not really mentioning the blessing that was supposed to be for this particular tribe. But that doesn't mean that they were not part of a section of the 144,000. 12,000 was also mentioned. And there is something that as you study, you're going to realize that they have came together once more with the tribe of Levi. Because at the beginning, because of the crime that they had actually committed by defending their sister, Dana. They had actually committed murder, and the Lord had cursed them to be separated. But then after, as they will allow the Holy Spirit and Jesus to be able to transform their nature, they were able to once more come together. There's a quotation in The Cross and His Shadow, page 297, the third paragraph. And also you can be able to continue reading as a reference in 298, first paragraph. And you will see that it says that it may be thought strange by some that the name of a man who was famous only for murder and sin should be inscribed on one of the gates of the holy city of God, and that 1/12 of the 144,000 will enter the city of God bearing the name of that man. But the fact that one has committed sin will never exclude him from the kingdom of God. All have sinned. It is unconfessed sin that diverts anyone from receiving anyone from receiving eternal life. So just remember, sin can be completely removed by the sin bearer, but it's the one that we retain and not give to him that will not have us cleansed to be able to be blameless before the Lord. So the respiratory system, let's speak about a little bit of the definition. In an integrated network of organs, it's an integrated network of organs and tubes that coordinates the exchange of oxygen and carbon dioxide between an organism and its environment. So the organs that are involved in breathing, including the nose, the throat, the larynx, the trachea, the bronchi, and the lungs, also known as the respiratory tree. You'll find a link in the very bottom of the presentation where this quotation was taken from. So let's talk about what this particular system is a symbol of in the sanctuary. The candlestick. The lamp that were a shadow of the Holy Spirit emanating from God, which at some time in life shines into the heart of every man, inviting him to accept the Lord and his service, and which shines continually in the life of the individual who walks in the light and is faithful to God, taken from The Cross and His Shadow, page 182, first paragraph. Also, there's another quotation taken from Stephen Haskell, but this book is The Story of the Seer of Patmos. In page 367, first paragraph, the candlestick upheld 7 lamps. These lamps in the earthly sanctuary were a type of the 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne in heaven, which are the 7 spirits of God. For a little reference, you could read Exodus 25:40 and Hebrews 8:5. Here in this particular slide, you will see side by side a picture of the golden lamp, which is the candlestick, and you also see a picture of the lungs. But there is something very beautiful in this particular picture. If you notice, the tree seems to be completely upside down. I am not going to give out the beautiful truth that will come about until we continue on our study. But just remember that the candlestick was actually beaten works, okay? And the beautiful designs that were actually added, where you see it was a seed and then a bud, a flower, and it keep growing to the point of becoming actual light bearers. So the beautiful process of that, it is very similar to our Christian walk. Continuing in our study, let's learn a little bit about the lungs, a symbol of the candlestick. References are Exodus 25:6 and also verse 31, you could also find in chapter 30, verses 1 through 8, and also chapter 40, 26. So the respiratory operates like the tribe of Simeon. You will see a little bit of reference from the Bible, Revelation 8, 3 to 40, Isaiah 64, 6, and Zechariah 4, 2 to 3. The Holy Spirit is a symbol of how we were given the breath of life. It provides the body with oxygen. If we don't have no oxygen in our body, we will die right away. So in Genesis 2, 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul." I will read a little quotation from Desire Ages, page 805, and the third paragraph, and it reads, "The Holy Spirit is the breath of spiritual life in the soul. The impartation of the Spirit is the impartation of the life of Christ. It imbues the receiver with the attributes of Christ. Only those who are thus taught of God, those who possess this inward working of the Spirit, and in whose life the Christ life is manifested, are to stand as representative men to minister in behalf of the church." Continuing on our reference, this one is taken from the Story of Redemption, page 184, paragraph 1 to 2. "When the high priest entered within the Most Holy once a year and ministered before the ark in the awful presence of God, he inquired, and God often answered him with an audible voice. When the Lord did not answer by a voice, he let the sacred beams of light and glory rest upon the cherubim upon the right of the ark in approbation or favor. If their requests were refused, a cloud rested upon the cherubim at the left." There were actually four angels. The only one that testified of these four angels besides the one that was over the mercy seat is the one that Solomon was given to see. And that's why in his temple, you would see four more of the angels around it. Can you all still hear me? Praise the Lord. So the four angels always accompanied the ark of God in all his journeying to guard it from all danger and to fulfill any mission required of them in connection with the ark. Jesus, the Son of God, followed by heavenly angels, went before the ark as it came to Jordan, and the waters were cut off before his presence. Christ and angels stood by the ark, and the priests in the bed of the river until all Israel had passed over the Jordan. Christ and angels attended the circuit of the ark around Jericho and finally cast down the massive walls of the city and delivered Jericho into the hands of Israel. Just remember, dear one, so the Lord has sent angels before us, and that is the angels' messages that is assisting as we continue in this work of bringing many souls to be delivered from the wrath of God. And Christ is also before us as well. So just remember that the way how the Old Testament are written, so does the New Testament has an anti-type. Here in this particular slide, you will see how two tribes actually work together. The tribe of Levi and Simeon work together. Remember, in the past of our study, Levi represents the muscle, and Simeon is a symbol of the lungs and the respiratory actions that happen in the body. On this particular slide, I would like to show something that we have learned in our previous study. Do you remember the actual vertebra that is a symbol of that Moses lifted up in the wilderness, that is a symbol of Christ crucified in the New Testament as a fulfillment? See how the actual diaphragm that we have right below where the lungs are actually resting upon, as the diaphragm will be able to continue expanding and it lifts up everything that the Lord is calling us to do for the purpose of salvation. So here you have the two tribes together doing the very thing that the scripture speaks about. In John 3:14, it says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And here you see Old Testament type, but here in this particular picture, you will see the ribs and the sternum elevated. And what is actually causing it to be elevated is the diaphragm contraction. And remember that the diaphragm is made with muscles. So here you see the muscle working together and all the different ligaments and all that takes part to be able to increase the breathing. Here you have the ribs are also lifted. So it is really a cooperation of all the different believers according to the truth that is written, how the Holy Spirit is being brought down for us to be able to assist in our breathing. So it is a corporative work that the body of believer has to do. Everybody has a part to play. And in order for the breath of life, not only in the physical body, but also in the spiritual, for the Holy Spirit to be poured out, we need to work together. Everybody must stand in their lot. And as the breath of life is being given according to each one spiritually, the work that we must do, because according to what in the New Testament, when Jesus Christ had given to each of the disciples according to their faith, remember that the faith is coming from here in the Word of God, the settling of truth, what it is your job to do in this time of gathering the people and to the coming of the Savior. It all depends on how you are settling on that truth that the Lord has called you to be commissioned to do this work. So we must go to God. No one can be able to tell us what we are here for. Only the Creator and the Life Giver is the only one that could tell you in what part of this spiritual body you will take action to cooperate in the plan of salvation. So let's continue in our reading. And this one is taken from Testimony for the Churches, Volume 8, on page 264, 122. In the creation of man was manifest the agency of a personal God. When God had made man in his image, the human form was perfect in all his arrangement, but it was without life. Then a personal self-existing God breathed into that form the breath of life, and man became a living, breathing, intelligent being. All parts of the human organism were put in action. The heart, the arteries, the veins, the tongue, the hands, the feet, the senses, the perceptions of the mind all began their work, and all were placed under law. Man became a living soul. Through Jesus Christ, a personal God created man and endued him with intelligence and power. Our substance was not hid from him when we were made in secret. His eyes saw our substance, yet being imperfect, and in his book all our members were written, when as yet there were none of them. So just remember, nothing will move unless the breath of life is given to that body, and then everything will start working. We must prepare ourselves to receive the power of the Holy Ghost so we can really become workers together in this body, the spiritual body. Continuing our reading, this is from Education, page 198, fourth paragraph. Above all, lower orders of being, God designed that man, the crowning work of his creation, to express his thought and reveal his glory. But man is not to exalt himself as God. Next in importance to right position are respiration, and vocal culture. The one who sits and stands erect is more likely than others to read it properly. But the teacher should impress upon his pupils the importance of deep breathing. Show how the healthy action of the respiratory organs assisted the circulation of the blood, invigorates the whole system, excites the appetite, promotes digestion, and induce sweet sleep as well. Does not only refreshing the body, but soothing and tranquilizing the mind. And while the importance of deep breathing is shown, the practice should be insisted upon. Let exercise be given, which will promote this, and see that the habit becomes established. So in the physical body, to be able to have a deep breath, it will bring oxygen into it that will allow all the organs to function all right. But it's the same way. If we don't go to God and plead for the Holy Ghost to be able to be given unto us, we're not going to be able to do the same in the spiritual body as well. Continuing in education, the book, and this is page 199, this is paragraph 1-2. Sabbath blessing, and God bless you, dear Sister Lynn. The training of the voice has an important place in physical culture since it tends to expand and strengthen the lungs and thus towards off diseases. To ensure correct delivery in reading and speaking, see that the abdominal muscle have full play in breathing and that the respiratory organs are unrestricted. Let the strain come on the muscle of the abdomen rather than on those of the throat. Great weariness and serious diseases of the throat and lungs may thus be prevented. Careful attention should be given to securing distinct articulations, smooth, well-modulated tones, and not too rapid delivery. This will not only promote health, but will add greatly to the agreeableness and efficiency of the student's work. Margin. The cramping of the lungs not only prevents the development, but hinders the processes of digestion and circulation and thus weaken the whole body. You see why, how is it so important, not only in our natural body, but it's the same in the spiritual body. All such practices lessen both physical and mental power, thus hindering the student advancement and often preventing his success. So continuing to understanding the beautiful lesson of what the candlestick represents. Here in Faith to Live By, in page 280 of the third paragraph, it gives us a little bit of insight. Jesus himself supplied the oil to these burning lamps. He it is that kindles the flame. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. John 1:4. No candlestick, no church shines of himself, for Christ emanates all his light, the Lord God Almighty, and the Lamb are the light thereof. Continuing from manuscript releases, you will find it also in 85-1901, and also you will find a paragraph in Volume 5 of Bible Commentary, and page 1143, and that's the second paragraph, and it reads, Christ is the light of the world. He shines in our hearts. His light in our heart shines forth from our faces. By beholding the beauty and the glory of Christ, we become changed into the same image. Also, you can see for reference on John chapter 16:8-11. So the lungs are constantly throwing off impurities. So you see, the Holy Spirit was sent here to correct, to instruct, and to bring us into righteousness. He is the one responsible to be able to help us through our walk by being covered by the blood of the Lord. Also, the Holy Spirit is the one responsible for removing all of the impurities in our spiritual life. You could see it also in our physical life. So we must be acquainted with the work that is being done within us and also through the Holy Spirit. He's the one that is responsible that when Jesus said that it was expedient for him to go, because he, by leaving, was going to send power from on high, and that was the power of the Holy Spirit. He's going to be responsible to seal us unto salvation. So the importance of actually allowing the Holy Spirit to do his work is very much important, dear ones. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't truly come to an understanding of the wisdom of the word that has been given to us to be able to share this gospel. I'm going to continue in the reading where it says, right below where it says John 16:8-11, I'm going to continue the reading. And they need to be constantly supplied with fresh air. Impure air does not afford the necessary supply of oxygen, and the blood pass to the brain and other organs without being vitalized. Hence, the necessity of a thorough ventilation. To live in close, ill-ventilated rooms where the air is dead, vitiated, is very important. Impairs or weakens. The ventilation is very important because it can weaken our system. It says to live in close, ill-ventilated room where the air is dead and vitiated weakens the entire system. It becomes peculiarly sensitive to the influence of cold, and a slight exposure induces disease. It is close confinement, indoors that makes many women pale and feeble. They breathe in the same air over and over until it becomes laden with poisonous matters thrown off through the lungs and pores, and impurities are thus conveyed back to the blood. Because our organs are working to be able to do the very thing they were created for, is to be able to release impurities. And if we don't have an open window, then we are taking it back right into our bodies. Continuing our reading, it says, only one source of light, Christ. He loved the church and gave himself for it. It is the purchase of his blood. The divine Son of God is seen walking amid the seven golden candlesticks. Jesus himself supplied the oil of these burning lamps. He it is that kindled the flame. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. See for reference also Revelation 2:1-21-23. A little quotation from manuscript releases, 1890, 1a. It says, no candlestick, no church shines for itself, for Christ emanates all his light. The church in heaven today is only the complement of the church on earth, but it is higher, grander, perfect. The same divine illumination is to continue through eternal ages. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the light thereof. No church can have light in it. Fails to diffuse the glory it received from the throne of God. That's one of the reasons why we are so saddened about this dear sister. Because by removing all the very things that was mentioned when Christ came here, these things that are being removed is what introduced who Christ was. And they needed to go back. The Lord said, very, very, it is written. And as they went back and read what was written, that's how they recognized the Messiah. By actually taking these things into consideration and removing them, they are becoming Christless. The situation is even further from what Catholicism has done. They're removing Christ themselves, and we pray and hope that this dear sister will hold on to the Holy Spirit, which he's the only one that is truly can bring understanding to her heart. So keep her in mind, dear ones. Continuing the reading from manuscript releases, this is 115 and it's dated 1899. The case which contains his jewels. The Church of Christ is very precious in his sight. It is the case which contains his jewels, the fold which encloses his flock. You will also see this quote in Bible Commentary, sorry, this is a typo, volume 6, and in page 1118, 1 through 9, and you can find it in Malachi 3:17. On this particular slide, you will have a picture of the respiratory system. It is an integrated network of organs and tubes that coordinates the exchange of oxygen and carbon dioxide between an organism and its environment. So right here you see all of the key players in this beautiful system. The anatomical feature of the respiratory system includes the heart, the lungs, and the respiratory muscle. It is the location where molecules of oxygen and carbon dioxide are passively exchanged by diffusion between the gaseous external environment and the blood. This exchange process occurs in the alveolar regions of the lung. So there is a constant exchange between the two. Here, Christ and the Holy Spirit work together. As pure blood is being pumped into the body and goes to feed the body, the Holy Spirit goes hand in hand with that blood, which is the oxygen. And what do they bring back from all the organs? All the impurities to be brought back into the lungs so it will be purified and turned into pure blood once more. So the body will be able to function. So the Holy Spirit and Christ work together, dear ones, for our spiritual life as well. Continuing, Christ in the midst of the candlestick. Only one source of life. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It is the purchase of his blood. The divine, the seven golden candlestick. Jesus himself supplied the oil to these burning lamps. He it is that kindled the flame. Why I have to keep repeating that? Because no man can kindle the flame of life in any man. Only the life giver, only the light of this world can truly make light shine upon us. It is very important, dear ones. No one can truly give us the life of life in us. We need to go to the light bearer. We need to go to the one that created us, this body, this tabernacle, that we can truly understand what life is all about. Don't allow any man to tell you what life is all about. Go to the life giver, and he will tell you everything that is needed. Also take for reference Ephesians 5:25. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. Also, I just decided to be able to just place chapter 3, verse 19, and I highlight it because of what it states. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and man loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. It is a serious thing, dear brethren, to be able to refuse the light of Christ. You refuse the light of Christ, Holy Spirit cannot be poured out to give you any understanding, because the Holy Spirit has been sent to glorify Christ and to give a knowledge of the Father as well, and whom the Father and the Son has sent here, that we may be able to come to a knowledge of the Godhead. So when we refuse Jesus, we refuse the power of the Holy Ghost that was sent to seal us unto salvation. So dear one, study to show yourself approved unto God is my counsel and my heartfelt prayer for each and every individual who walk in the midst of the seven candlestick, for the glory of God delight in it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Continuing on a little quotation from Manuscript Release 1A, 1890, you will find it also in Bible Commentaries, Volume 6, pages 11, 18, 1 through 8. No candlestick, no church shines of himself. From Christ emanates all his light. The church in heaven today is only the completement of the church on earth. But it is higher, grander, perfect. The same divine illumination is to continue through the eternal ages. So the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the light thereof. It didn't say any man. It says God the Father and also the Lamb. No church can have light if it fails to diffuse the glory it received from the throne of God. So the golden candlestick represents the church of God. It was of beaten work. Many heavy strokes of the hammer were necessary to blend the pieces of gold into one complete whole and form the perfect candlestick. So all of the things that we as believers are going to go through in our life, it is actually the beaten work that the Holy Spirit is going to do to mold us and fashion us into the vessel that the Lord wants us to be, that we will be truly light bearers in this world. The references are Exodus 25:37, chapter 40, 24 through 25, chapter 30, 7 to 8, Leviticus 24:2. Continuing in our study, the Holy Spirit is the breath of life in the soul. The breathing of Christ upon his disciple was the breath of true spiritual life. The disciple were to interpret this as imbued them with the attributes of their Savior, that in purity, faith, and obedience, they might exalt the laws and make it honorable. So not only God came down here to make the law honorable and to be able to be acknowledged, he sent his disciple to do the same. By their removing the Sabbath, you are taking one part of the Ten Commandments. And the Lord did say in his word, not one jot, not one tittle shall be removed. So when we take these lessons from man, and there are living words there in the Word of God to show us what we should do, then by beholding, dear ones, you will become transformed into whatever character your heart is listening to whatever mold you are fashioning yourself. But the only one that was able to dress that candlestick, it was Jesus. And the type, it was the high priest. No one was able to do that because Christ is the only one that is a representation of the moldiness of a new vessel. That reference came from Review Herald, June 13, 1899, and this is our sixth paragraph. Also, in the scripture, as a reference is John 1:9. Continuing, in this particular reference is taken from the story of the Sea of Patmos from Stephen Nelson Haskell, in page 367, first paragraph. In like manner, it takes many trials and chastisement to eradicate pride, envy, and covetousness from the people of God, and blended them into one complete church, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. The candlestick upheld the seven lamps. These lamps in the earthly sanctuary were a type of the seven lamps of fire burning before the throne in heaven, which are the seven spirits of God. You will find that reference in Revelation 4, 2 and 5. So let's take a look at this particular organ in the inside of it, where you can see the branches clearly. Christ said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. That is taken from John 15:1-5. The reference is also, you could see here, that we do have that vine. And notice that the root of that vine is not earthy. It is heavenly. The root is in heaven, dear ones. So no man can be able to handle this particular candlestick. Only the light giver, the one that created man, the one that breathed life into him, the one that kindled the life in man, the root is in heaven. There is a reference, John chapter 1, 4 and 9, also John 15, 4 and 5, Revelation 1, 13 to 16. Please, dear one, study to show yourself approved unto God. Don't allow anyone to remove your crown, for salvation cometh only by the Lamb of God. Continuing. I am the vine, ye are the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bear not fruit, he take it away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purchase it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Continuing in our study, Christ says of the church, ye are the light of the world. The Spirit of God shines forth upon the earth through the church. The church, the candlestick, upholds the light, guiding souls to the Lord, not to ourselves, but to the Lord. The candlestick was one whole piece. An individual that is out of harmony with the body, the church, is not a part of the candlestick. The work of dressing the lamp every morning and evening was not given to the Levites, but Aaron, that is a symbol of Christ, in the antitype. The high priest, the one who represents Christ in the fullest sense, cleansed and refilled the lamps. He served unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. In the heavenly sanctuary, every day Christ performed the work of which this was a type. It is the privilege of every child of God to believe as each morning he pleads for the strength and wisdom for the day that Christ in heaven is pouring out an abundant supply of his Holy Spirit to meet every need, dear one. At the close of the day, as he reviews his failures and mistakes, he may know that as on the earth the high priest lightened the lamps every evening, so Christ, the great high priest, is given of his Holy Spirit to cover all the works of the day. That was taken from the story of the Seer of Patmos, page 367, second paragraph. Dear one, do you see? For anybody to remove the Old Testament or all the ceremonial law and close the door towards it, they're not going to understand the time of atonement. They're not going to understand what their Savior is doing in the most holy place. They're not going to understand what is the time of preparation, because this is the message that the people in the world don't know. They have hidden the Old Testament and told them they just needed the New Testament. But without the Old Testament, the New Testament cannot testify that the word is true. For Christ not only came to be able to fulfill them, how can you have the word that's supposed to show that he was the Messiah be removed? How could you tell he was? Because the law said, verily, verily, it is said, it is written. He wants us to go back and see. He didn't came to exalt himself. He came to exalt the one that we do not know, and that was the Father in heaven and the plan of salvation. Now the Holy Spirit is to exalt Jesus. But without Jesus, the Holy Spirit will not do that work. For he's the only holiness that we have And through His holiness, we can be able to become sealed through the power of the Holy Ghost. Dear one, study to show yourself approved unto God. So now we have come to the slide where it gives you that beautiful story of why this particular tree in us, it is actually upside down. So let's learn something interesting about the branches. In John 8:23, it says, "And he, Jesus, said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world." Remember that the candlestick only supposed to be dressed by the high priest. Our high priest, that precious Savior, before the throne of God, is the only one that can truly continue giving us the light and the life and the breath. So why are the branches in our bodies upside down? Because man is a design that came from above. It's not earthy. Therefore, for us to be able to know what and in what manner we will be saved, we have to go to the one that came from above, that came and tabernacled himself among men and was the only way to the Father. So here in this particular slide, you will see that the branches of our life tree is in heaven. Here in the opposite slide, you will see the heart is right behind it. So Christ is in the very midst. In the next particular series, you're going to know who represents the heart. And I'm not going to give it away. You're just going to have to wait by God's grace. Continuing, let's learn a little bit about the seven branches, each holding aloft a lamp representing the church. You will see a little reference of the cross and the shadow in page 50, paragraph 3, and I will continue the reading. Jesus himself supplied the oil of these burning lamps. It was Jesus, not man. It is that candle, the flame. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. John 1:4. So we already know that the candlestick was lit and kept only by the Lamb and the Father. You have the references here, Revelation 21:23, Exodus 37 and 8, and Hebrews 4:5, and I'm going to just read them. Revelation 21:23 says, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." Exodus 30:7-8. "And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning, and when he dressed the lamp, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lightened the lamp at eve, he shall burn incense upon it, and a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generation." Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all point tempted like as we are, yet without sin." These are very key to be able to understand why it's so important to go deep into study concerning not only the nature of Christ taking this body and leaving us an open door to understand he went through everything that we have and even more. But by he holding on to divine nature as he is telling us to hold on to his merit, we can also overcome as well. Don't let anybody tell you any different. Continuing, in this particular slide, you will see the branches of the candlestick. Did you remember in the picture that it was showing that on the actual design of the beaten work, you will see the seed, the flower, and the bud, and it just continue until it becomes a light bearer? Look at how beautiful the Lord made our bodies. The way how all of the... Let me just read the particular scripture for reference. Exodus 25:35 says, "And there shall be a knop on the two branches of the same, and a knob on the two branches of the same. And a knob is just telling you the different type of design that was being in beaten work on the candlestick, okay? So the branches of the same according to six branches that process out the candlestick. On Exodus 25:33, on the right side, said three bowls made like unto almonds with a knot and all, and a flower in one branch, and the three bowls made like almonds in the other branch with a knob and a flower. So in the six branches that comes out of the candlestick. So here in our picture, you're going to see that those little fruits that we will call, that is in our living tree inside of our body, is called alveolus. A-L-V-E-O-L-U-S. And all of the little capillary, it is so beautifully designed. It looks like a flower. Don't you see their ones? And they look like little seeds of almonds. And when you see them together, it just makes the shape of a beautiful flower. Do you see their ones? So continue. It took many a hard and skillful blow to form those delicate flowers and bowls. But the candlestick was to be made after the heavenly mold to teach heavenly lesson to mankind. It is very painful after seeing all of this beautiful truth, how we as man take our passion and desire to be able to destroy such a beautiful organ by smoke and all these poisons that we put in our bodies. Do you see why the health message is talking about how evil tobacco is? It is basically killing our living tree from our bodies, dear one. So it doesn't become a light thing anymore. It is a vital thing. Okay, continuing our study. And this is also taken from The Cross and Its Shadow, page 51, first paragraph and second paragraph. And the different references that they do have for you to be able to study on your own. Remember to the law and to the testimony, Hebrews 12:23 margin, and Ephesians 2:10. 1 Peter 4:12, Revelation 4:2-5, 2 Chronicles 16:9, margin. Continuing our reading, the individual that form a part of the church of the firstborn, which are enrolled in heaven, will often feel the workman's hammer, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Then, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. It is only the master workman fashioning you to become a part of the great church enrolled in heaven. So that's why when trials come, and when the fire also is going to be able to just burn out, drop, be quiet in the molding of God. Sing songs, like the way how the disciple, when they was in prison after being beaten, they just break out in song, just being so grateful to be partakers of the suffering of their Savior. About the Hebrew boys and all of the beautiful people in the Word of God, how they handled these trials. We are not even taking half of what they went through. It is just our daily life that we have to deal with. Actions that we decided to take and the consequences that will come. What we have to suffer for the purpose of the gospel, it is ahead of us. These things that the Lord placed in our heart are just a molding, dear ones. The work has just begun. We will be standing, if it's possible, before any kind of prosecution. Just remember, there were many that went before you. And especially our Savior is the greatest light of it all. Don't take your eyes away from Him. As your trials and your tribulation come, just keep your face towards the Savior. As they are actually striking you, you will be able to feel that comfort to know that you are partaking of that very precious stone that has been stricken for you, dear ones. So be encouraged. The candlestick in the type held 7 lamps. The beloved disciple also had a view of the heavenly lamps, of which the earthly ones were models. Before the throne of God in heaven, he saw the 7 lamps of fire, which are the 7 spirits of God. The church of Christ is the candlestick to hold up the light in the midst of the moral darkness. The Savior says, "Ye are the light of the world." The Spirit of the Lord is said to be the eyes of the Lord, which run through and fro throughout the whole earth, strongly to hold with them those hearts is perfect towards Him. Then the brightness of our light depends upon the condition of our hearts. The Spirit is searching throughout the earth for those whose hearts are perfect towards God, and it will strongly hold with such ones, their light will not burn dim. So, in this particular slide, dear one, if you remember the first series of our study, when we were studying about the brain had 4 lobes. Notice that the lungs also carry lobes as well. So that the lungs is a representation of the work of the 2 other Godhead, which is Christ, the blood, and the Holy Spirit, which is the breath. It carries the same system of government as the brain. As you can see here, dear ones, the muscle, all of them working together for the purpose of the sanctification and the purification of the people. So here you have the limb notes, which I am not going to give away, dear ones, of what importance they do in the body. That will be the lymphatic system. So patience is a virtue. And the bronchi, all you're going to see that they have the upper lobe, the middle lobe, the lower lobe. All of these lobes is just to be able to understand how the government of God not only functions in heaven, but the law also sent that same government here. But it's only in the hands of the Holy Spirit and the Son that we will find that same government. So the sigmatic pulmonary, do you know there are actual 10 in each lungs? It's just like the spiritual law that's supposed to be binded in our hearts. It is cradle, right? The heart is cradled between these 2 massive muscles that does all of the cleansing in our body. The Holy Spirit takes the same commandment, which is the foundation of the government of heaven, and He made it the spiritual law in our hearts so we can be sealed, binded by the merits of Christ. Don't you see, dear one? God did really made us in their own image and in their own likeness. It is just remarkable to see the plan of salvation pour out in the love of how He made this body. Dear ones, as you eat, be conscious eaters. Look and see what you're putting in it. Remember that you're destroying the very gift that the Lord has given you to understand a little bit about the Creator. Please, dear one, be conscious eaters. Try to see what it is that you're putting into your body, that you can be able to truly do the work that the Lord has called you to do, to be happy and glorify God, to have pure blood, that you will have health, truly to be able to glorify God for the goodness of the Lord bring conversion, dear ones. So let's learn a little bit about carbon dioxide. That is a symbol of sin that is being removed from us. So it rids the body of this poison. And notice that even the Lord had given us help through nature by putting all these trees that also help in also removing all of these impurities that not only coming out from our bodies, but from all the pollution that is in our environments. Even the tree in nature do the same work that the tree in our body is doing. What a remarkable creator we have, dear ones. You will find a reference in the Bible, Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 27. Likewise, the Spirit also help our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself make intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saint according to the will of God. Amen. Continuing, the lungs should be allowed the greatest freedom possible. Their capacity is developed by free action. As a reference where I came to understand that in Galatians 5:1-13, will give you a little bit of insight. It diminishes if they are cramped and compressed. Hence, the ill effects of the practice, so common, especially in sedentary pursuits of stooping at one's work. In this position, it is impossible to breathe deeply. Superficial breathing soon become a habit, and the lungs lose their power to expand. You see why the reason we need the fresh air, which is also one of the 8 laws of health? The whole purpose of this study is to be able to consider that these principles that has been given to us to be able to hold on to how to accomplish this work. Even our body testify of these things, dear ones. Thus, an insufficient supply of oxygen is received. The blood moves sluggishly. This was taken from My Life Today, page 128, 4th paragraph. Now we're going to learn a little bit about the trachea. A symbol of our windpipe has a flap of skin at the top to prevent food from entering. What a design. As the air will pass through, there's a section that is closed that it could have the freedom to pass and do the work. And when we begin to eat, the flap will do the same to make the food be able to. You see how the Holy Spirit and the Son work together? We need to do the same, dear ones. That no one become a stumbling block to anyone, and allow the other brethren to do the work that the Lord called him to do. It doesn't matter if it's man, woman, or child. The Lord is the creator of us all. He knows whom and in what manner. Only the obedience and the surrender into the will of God is the one that we can be able to look towards to accomplish this work. A quotation from Exodus 26:33, and thou shalt hang up the veil under the tassels, that thou mayst bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony, and the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy place. And you know that the veil represents Christ's flesh. Okay, so let's read about the 7 bronchi or bronchi. I'm sorry for my pronunciation. On a quotation from Revelation 1:13, and it reads, and in the midst of the 7 candlestick, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the pops with a golden girdle. The 7 branches, which we already know that Christ is the vine, are the It says that I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. So in other words, Christ has to be in the midst. It tells you in the scripture. It tells us in the anatomy. He is in the very midst. So even if you don't believe in the word, believe the word's sake, as Christ had said when they didn't want it to believe him, because the word testify of who sent him and the Father as well. So the body that the Lord have created testify of that work that the Word of God speaks so deeply about. You will find that in John 15, 5 through 7, Matthew 5, 14 to 16. Continuing, his seven branches, each holding aloft a lamp, represents the seven churches. You will find that reference in Revelation 1, 20. Continuing our reading, every branch that bear fruit, he purchased, that it may bring forth more fruit. Our fruit bearing testify whether we are really abiding in Christ. Key words there, one. Identity with Christ needed. The branches in the true vine are the believers who are brought into oneness by connection with the vine, by removing Christ from the midst of man. It is dead work. There is no life in a dead body. You need the light of life to be able to maintain. Continuing the reading, taken from Bible Commentary, Volume 5, pages 1143, which is 1143. This is the fifth paragraph. The branches of the vine cannot blend into each other. They are individual, separated. Yet every branch must be in fellowship with every other if they are united in the same parent stock. They all draw nourishment from the same source. They drink in the same life-giving property. So each branch of the true vine is separated and distinct, yet all are bound together in the parent stock. There can be no division. They are all linked together by his will to bear fruit wherever they can find place and opportunity. But in order to do this, the worker must hide himself. Hide yourself. He must not give expression to his own mind and will. He is to express the mind and the will of Christ. The human families are dependent upon God for life and breath and substance. God has designed the web and all our individual threads to compose the pattern. The Creator is one, and he reveals himself as the great reservoir of all that is essential for each separate life. So, if there is no unity, it's because Christ is not the parent stock, and people are not connected to him. So if Christ is removed, there is no connection with no one. For Christ is the center, and we must be connected to the center so we can be connected to one another. Just a minute. The slide is taking a little bit of time. Okay. So on this particular slide, we are on slide 29. Thank you for your patience. And for those that are on the phone that are not able to see it, we pray by God's grace that you can be able to visit the website where you can be able to download the PowerPoints and be able to search for yourself, study for yourself on all these truth concerning the Bible, the spirit of prophecy, and the creation of our tabernacle to see that the word is true. A quotation from My Life Today, page 128, fifth paragraph, it says, next in importance to right position are respiration and vocal culture. The one who sits and stands erect is more likely than other to breathe properly. To ensure correct delivery in reading and speaking, which is one of my biggest battles, see that the abdominal muscle have full play in breathing and that the respiratory organs are unrestricted. Let the strain come on the muscle of the abdominal rather than on those of the throat. Great weariness and serious disease of the throat and lung may thus be prevented. So we already seen in the previous slide how the bowl and the knobs and the flowers are a symbol of the alveolus, the bronchioles, and the alveoli. Three bowls made like unto almonds, which a knob and a flower is one branch, and the three bowls made like almonds in the other branch, with a knob and a flower, so in the six branches that come out of the candlestick. That was taken from Exodus 25:31, and you're going to see some other reference also in 33 to 36. Can you see those beautiful flowers and fruit that is being shown here in our live tree inside our bodies, dear one? And here you will see what makes up the design that looks like flowers. It is the vein and the artery and the capillary when they come together in unison. How they make that beautiful image. So as y'all can see, all that the Lord had made in us, faith came by the word. The word can testify of that. That is true. I hope and pray, dear ones, that you can be able to take with you that the Holy Spirit and the Son and the Most High Father in heaven are the one responsible for our salvation. Let's stop looking to man and let our roots be planted in heaven and not on earth. Next week, the sanctuary of the body, the third temple, Sirius 7, the cardiovascular system, operates and function like the tribe of Reuben, the heart, excellence of dignity and the excellence of power is the table of showbread. God bless everyone, and I hope and pray that you was blessed.
Amen, dear sister, and thank you so much, and praise the Lord. Looking forward to next week. That'll be wonderful. Our closing song for today's main service is entitled Seekers of Your Heart. And the lyrics can be found at lightministries.com/ID242.htm.
Amen. Until we give you first place, until we let you begin to fill us with your Spirit, renew us from within. Nothing matters, nothing's gained without your holy presence. Our lives are lived in vain, Lord. Want to know you, live our lives to show you all the love we owe you. We're seekers of your heart. Because your heart was broken, because you saw the need, because you give so freely, because of Calvary, we can now be called your own, completed creation, filled is to show you all the love we owe you. We're seekers of your heart. Lord, we want to know you, live our lives to show you all the love we owe you. We're seekers of your heart.
Amen, and praise the Lord. And dear Spirit, help us to truly be seekers of the heart of our God. I ask that you please bow your heads and your knees for closing prayer to today's service. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so very much. And we magnify and extol your holy name for being our creator, for being the all-wise God, and for being perfectly righteous, true, and holy in all your ways. Father, please help us to see ourselves as you view us in truth. And help us to recognize that there's nothing to glory in our own understanding. There's nothing to glory in our own selves, no matter how great or small our intellect might be. For truly, we're foolish in thy sight. But through Jesus Christ and his truth enthroned in us, we are indeed worthy in the Lamb that was slain to bring us salvation and acceptance with thee. Dear Spirit, please continue to work in each one of us, helping us to rid ourselves of everything earthy, sinful, and fallen. And thank you so very much for continuing to work in us, for it is indeed a process. Thank you for truly giving us the breath of life, allowing our spiritual life to exist, for without you we'd all be lost. Without our Savior, we'd all be lost. Without our Father, we'd all be lost. But thank you, Godhead, for working together to allow us to live. I pray that you'll be with each one of us. Continue to lead and guide us. Continue to work your will in our lives. And help us more and more to submit to allow you to work in our lives and not think that we know better how to conduct our own affairs. Father, we're suppliants, and we're looking to thee for help and guidance, for truth and understanding, for power to say no to sin and our evil natures, and yes to thee and thy truth. Thank you for not forsaking us, but continuing to lead and guide us upward, one step at a time, until through Jesus Christ, we can get off of this wicked world and go right into heaven and eternal life. Thank you for being with us today, and please help none of the spiritual insights and the truths that were shared in any and all services of today be lost. But let us retain them, and Spirit, bring them back to our remembrance that we can study them for ourselves, and thus grow more fully in understanding and into thy image than we did before. Please be with us now as we enter into the after service And again, thank you, dear Godhead, for truly being with us today and blessing us with light from above. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you, dear sister, and praise the Lord for revealing to you the things that he has and for you being faithful to reveal it to us. And I have to agree with a statement that was put into the room here. Let me see if I can find it. Dear sister says, I have now the highest appreciation of our anatomy and physiology. Praise the Lord. And indeed, I agree with that statement wholeheartedly. Going through anatomy and physiology classes in my younger days, I had no idea that it had spiritual meaning and understanding like I'm beginning to understand now. I just thought it was God's way of allowing me and other human beings to function in a complete harmonious way. But with what God has revealed to Sister Rose, it's truly bringing me more and more in awe that we are indeed fearfully and wonderfully made with purpose. And that purpose is to teach us, to reveal to us spiritual insights that our God is indeed our Creator. Everything he does is with purpose and is perfect and leads directly back to him. As each week passes, I just find myself more in awe. And, you know, it's more and more humbled, more and more appreciative. I mean, God created us 6,000 years, created the human race 6,000 years ago. And yet, all the time, he was waiting for this last generation to be able to have the ability to examine the human body and to find out all of these areas and then to understand why he created us this way. Truly, God sees the end from the beginning, and he knew right down at the end of time mankind was going to need this information in order to lead them to recognize that there is a God in the heavens, that he is our Creator, that there's purpose in our design. And that purpose leads us directly back to him. So let none of this knowledge and spiritual insights be lost upon you, dear ones. Search them out. Study them for yourself. And allow God to change your heart. And allow his light to shine in your heart and then from your heart to others. For truly, as we read in Revelation, the Father allows heaven to be filled with light, and that light is Jesus Christ. And the Spirit allows that light to shine in our hearts. He's the oil that keeps this light burning within us and shining from us to others. So the Father is uplifting the light of the Savior. And the Spirit is allowing the light of the Savior to dawn on our understanding so that we in turn can allow the light to dispel darkness in us and then shine that light out to others. Truly, all three members, all three gods of the Godhead are united together to bring about salvation and praise their holy names.
Amen, and amen, dear Brother Rob, and praise the living God. Oh, praise God. Let me try this again, okay? All right, let's see. I think, oh, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear brother. The connection is really choppy and bad, and it's continuing to break your connection with the room. But we do want to hear your comment, so hopefully after a few minutes, it might be good for you to come back and try again. In the meantime, there was a question put in the room that says, Dear Brother Bob, what is your concept of cremation as a final burial procedure? And that's a very interesting question, dear brother. I personally do not know which is the best form of burial, because either route, whether you're buried in the casket and your body turns to ashes that way, or whether the process is sped up and you're cremated and thus you turn to ashes that way, God still knows who you are. And it doesn't matter where your ashes might be. If you're faithful to God to the end, and you've lived up to all the light of truth that had been revealed to you during your lifetime, and Jesus Christ is your Savior, then you will be saved. So it doesn't matter how depreciated or how destroyed your body was, God will still resurrect it new. You know, and some people take a very strong position on this that, well, you know, Christ was buried physically, although dead. His dead body was buried in a tomb. And so that means every follower of Christ has to be buried in the same way, in a casket. And if you try to get them to understand that a dead body is dead, it no longer has any connection with God. It's flesh. What matters to God is the character that was formed within that body. But some take such a strong position on it that if you suggest cremation as an option, they just say, well, you're not a follower of God because you're not following the example of Christ. But I, at this moment, don't look at it that way. In these last days, it's not such a simple procedure to be buried in the ground as it was back in those days. In these days, there's been a lot of corruption involved with burial. And the prices for burial services are skyrocketing. The cheapest burial option is cremation, but even that is now increasing in cost. So is this a salvational issue, whether we should be buried whole or cremated to ashes? I don't believe it is. I don't see it anywhere listed in God's Word stating how we are to be buried in order to please God. But I do see it listed in God's Word that the names of all the redeemed are listed in the book of life, and they will be resurrected with a new body, an immortal body, as long as they continue to eat from the tree of life, which they will. A body that's not mortal anymore. It's not corruptible anymore. so as to how the old corrupted body was brought to ashes, I believe doesn't matter with God. Because he doesn't keep track of the old body. The body isn't listed in the Lamb's Book of Life. The name of the person that was in that body is listed in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that old body will not be resurrected. The new body connected with that individual will be resurrected. So I look at this more as a personal matter between the individual and God. And I don't look at it as a doctrine of faith or some position that we as a church or as a group needs to take on this particular issue. But I just have one particular viewpoint on it. Are there any others here that have a different viewpoint on it? Which is okay. Just share how the Lord has led you to understand this issue. So anyways, that's sort of how I view it, dear brother. But please, anyone else, feel free.
Well, I'm actually hoping that my connection is a lot better now. I'm really hoping and praying that I'm not breaking up too bad and won't fall out. So I have a thought on what you were talking about, dear brother, and the question that was raised. I would like to still touch back on what was spoken of before in regards to the study and the amazing grace of the Lord. And as I'm looking back on, as you had mentioned, Brother Rob, Sister Carol, God bless you. Have a blessed week. Until by God's grace we can see you again. And you had mentioned, dear brother, the 6,000-year time frame. And what struck me about God's amazing grace in this, and you had tied it into how the Lord is showing us now through these beautiful studies that Sister Rose is bringing, the marvelous story of salvation and his love for us that is built into our bodies that he made. It's really amazing that we are given this, and that's why it's like I got excited, and I'm still very excited, because 6,000 years have gone by, and the Lord did not bring this to his people at a time when they could even better intellectually receive it. But I'm realizing that he brought this to his people at a time when, in truth, sin is so exceedingly abounding in the earth throughout, and the human body has been degraded to such an exceedingly low level, and yet here we are given this beautiful truth to help strengthen and prepare us at the time when the world seems its darkest, that we can receive this beautiful indwelling of the Holy Spirit in such great magnitude in a world that is so dark, to be so much light into the world. At least that's how my heart had, you know, taken this, and how when you had mentioned that, it just all flooded to me like, wow, it's not at a time when mankind was seemingly doing so well with health or more intellectual or intelligent about things of God. The Lord brought this when man is really at his lowest stage, and he's at the greatest need to have as much an abundance of understanding of how the Lord made him and built the gospel and the truth of Christ and salvation and the whole everlasting gospel built inside of us, so that we can truly see the depth and the height and the length and the breadth of his love for us. Right when the devil is doing everything he can to destroy each and every individual, I just found that to be just so amazing that he did it at this time. That's just, and the scripture that came to my mind and just kept ringing over and over in my head was that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And it just kept coming to me like a flood. It just much more abounded, just much more abounded, just much more abound. And this study that the Lord has brought, it just shows so much that it is so like that. His love is so deep and so washing and so cleansing and so overflowing. And it really, is going to fill all the earth with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And that's how I praise the living God for that. The other thing that I wanted to share, if I may, is it's really beautiful. This particular study strikes home so strong to me because of the respiratory system and how much, as a child, it was so hard for me to breathe. And I had such a struggle to do even half of what any other child could really even do. And to see it so tied in with how the Lord lights the lamp and the Holy Spirit. You know, a flame can't even burn without oxygen. You know that, right? Without any oxygen, there is no fire. So that's why that unity with the oil and the Holy Spirit working in it and Christ lighting that brings forth such beautiful light. But it really is like I find that you really do have to be in that prayer time every day. Because if we stop breathing, even as you said, dear sister, we stop breathing, you die. Well, stop praying and see what happens to your walk. Stop reading the Word of God and spending time in meditation with the Lord and just see how far, as it was even brought up in the earlier study, Brother Rob, you were mentioning that in the Spirit of Prophecy, they began to, stray away from the Lord. And I really believe that there's something to that straying away from the Lord in our ceasing from our time in prayer, in our giving heed to seducing spirits, which we can even seduce ourselves with the arrogance and pride in our own mind where we believe that we are standing in such a particular position, and yet we're not even where we're supposed to be. We have not been in the presence of the Lord, and we have not been breathing in the Holy Spirit of Christ. We have not been doing that. So how are we going to have that light that comes from Jesus? We have our own light? Well, then we would be like Nadab and Abihu bringing strange fire before the Lord. Well, we can't do that. We have to have Christ in our hearts at all times and the light of Him at all times. And the Holy Spirit, we must be breathing Him in and breathing Him out so that we truly are walking in the light as He is in the light. Those are the things that have come to me in this beautiful study, and how the respiratory system is connected with so many different areas of our body that are exceedingly important, especially even to the aiding of the digestion system and the cleansing of the blood. If we are not in prayer and we're not in study, how are we going to get fed? What is going to sustain us when the time gets really hard out here in this world and they're accusing for this and they're accusing for that and the mothers and fathers are abandoning us, husbands or wives are turning against us, our sons and daughters, our friends, our families, and they're tossing us into jails and prisons? What are we going to have to feed off of? What cud will we be able to bring back up if we didn't eat in the first place? We have to really spend that time. And it's important now that we take that time and plant and sow right now. Let the Lord plant and sow right now in us right now, His Holy Word, and allow the Holy Spirit to do His powerful work. Because I cannot judge myself as to far as like, where's my strengths or weaknesses at altogether. The Lord knows completely. I only know what I can try and understand by His mercy and grace. I don't know how far in Christ I have grown. I do not know. That's by faith I keep walking, and each of us must keep walking and not give heed to any seducing spirits that try to discourage us or cause us doubt or fears or tremblings to walk away from the path. No, keep our eyes on Christ and keep walking. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out, and live in Christ Jesus at all times. walk in the Spirit at all times, and we will not fulfill the desires and the lusts of the flesh. Let's just move with Christ. This is what we all have to really do. That's why this study really just like, it really touched deeply home to me, this particular study, because everything is so tied in to everything that needs to really move well. At least that's how I see it. And I know all the other parts of the body are very important. I just don't know why this one really really struck a deep chord. And maybe it was because of the struggles that I had as I was growing up, and it related so well to that. But I praise God that, you know, even to this particular very moment, here I am by His grace. And He has allowed me to come to learn more and more and more of Him. And here we all are by His grace. And who was to know that we would all be right here in this little room learning so much more deeply and of the richness of His love? Who would have known? I would have never seen this. To come into such a beautiful truth. I would have never seen this if I look back on my life. But the Lord saw. I didn't see. And I thank Him for being able to preserve me out of His mercy and grace throughout all of this. I can't thank Him enough. Now, if I may continue just a little bit more, by God's amazing grace and by you all allowing me, dear brothers and sisters, if I can just add a little more to what was spoken of just recently. Just on my thought on it, as far as, and it's not a salvation issue per se, when it comes down to burial. I have seen, though, many different references in Scripture when it comes down to the children and people of God, where they are buried. And I have looked through the history of various types of pagan religions, both mentioned in Scripture and also that, even the ones mentioned in the world. You can tie them back to the things that were mentioned in the Word of God, where they're dead, and even their living at times, are actually given over to the fire. And they are destroyed by the fire. And when we look at the judgment of God that is coming, it is coming as a cleansing fire to destroy all the wicked from the earth. My reason why I tend to lean more towards burial is because it seems that the Lord has given that back to us from the very beginning in Genesis, that from the dust of the ground we came, to the dust of the ground you go back. And it is true that that can be done to a certain degree in a form of ashes after being burned. But it seems like through every single instance when talking about the death of the patriarchs and those that follow the Lord, they slept and were buried. They slept and were buried. They slept and were buried. I have not seen any evidence concerning when it comes to the children of God where the Lord gives us an example where He burns His children. And so that's why I lean much more strongly towards the example of following the example that's been given out, even if it's, say, like eating. It's for a reason why we don't eat pork. Okay, it's for the good of our health. We don't eat shellfish. It's the good of our health. And the Lord knows this. So I may not know completely and fully why the Lord has separated that from what I see so clearly in Scripture, that those of His children are buried, and those of the wicked, they usually pass their children through the fire, they usually burn them on piles, they're usually consumed in cities like Sodom and Gomorrah with fire raining down on them, just totally obliterating them. It seems like there's a distinction that is made for those who, you know, serve the Lord, you handle your family matters, even in the area of burial, a particular way. And those who do not serve the Lord, they will lean towards handling their family matters in a particular way. And though I do understand the point that you also made, dear brother, concerning the costs of burials nowadays, which is really kind of sad. Yes, amen. The martyrs will burn as a mockery to the resurrection. So even when the martyrs were burned, it was not an honor for them at all. It was done despite and against them. So we see how, and that was the pagans that actually burned them. So that is the way in which they discard of either their dead even, or even those whom they cannot stand, is by burning them. And maybe it leads off to the way which Satan himself knows he too is going to be consumed by fire. And maybe that's his way of saying, well, you know what?
I'm going to be burned by fire, so you guys, you're going to be burned by fire. I don't know the particulars. However, I tend to see a very strong distinction and between how the children of God should handle their loved ones when they die and how the unbelievers or the heathen handle theirs when they die. And the example given through all the scripture, I just cannot find anywhere where we've given any solid examples other than burial and going back to the dirt where we come from for the children of God and their loved ones. So, I mean, just to add that in there, and others may have a different view. So I'm listening to, okay. God bless you all for your patience and long-suffering towards me and all my rambling on.
I'm trying to be able to go back to my studies in the past. And I believe when I was reading about Jerome and Huss, please correct me if I'm wrong because it's been a long time. And I guess it was some martyr that when he was burned at the stake, the Lord made a very symbolic meaning as the way how the ashes, when it was tossed, I think somewhere in a stream, I don't know if it's a river, it says that the same way how it was actually spread to move out into, is the same way how the gospel was supposed to be spread out. Did you remember, I'm talking to people that has been reading the spirit of prophecy for a long time. Didn't have something like that actually happened? That when the ashes was placed, I don't know if it was in a river or some kind of stream, the Lord allowed the symbol of how that was going to be spread out. It's the same way how the gospel had actually reached many places. I'm not sure.
Yes, dear sister. I remember it where Wycliffe had died normally of old age, but the Catholic Church hated him so much that they dug up his bones and burned them to ashes, and then they took a shovel and threw the ashes into a nearby stream. And their purpose was to completely eliminate all the ashes from being connected to Wycliffe. But it became a symbol of the Reformation that Wycliffe was part of, traveling worldwide and spreading to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. So that is what I remember, and it was dealing with Wycliffe. And Jerus and Holm were you know, burned at the stake, but Wycliffe actually died in his sleep. And then he was buried, but the Catholic Church dug him up and then burned his bones to ashes and then threw it into the stream. So again, you know, with Wycliffe's ashes now disconnected from where his body was buried, and there's no single ash still connected together with the other ashes that were once part of his mortal body. Yet God knows that Wycliffe is going to be raised with a new body. So irregardless of where his old body is, which is worldwide, you know, every ocean probably, irregardless of where his body is, his literal dead body, it doesn't matter to the Lord. Wycliffe will be raised with an immortal body, never to die again. Because his name, his character, was registered in the Lamb's Book of Life. So, thank you, Brother Joel, for your comments. And, you know, let every individual be fully persuaded in their own mind as to what they should do regarding their burial. And take it to God, and he will definitely lead and guide you into what he sees his best. So are there any other comments, any other perspectives on this particular issue? Are there any testimonies or songs that you'd like to bring before us, dear ones, in praising the Lord?
Elder Rob, I'm sorry. This is just a question concerning the topic. Okay. when the Lord had actually formed man, he formed them out of the ground. The ground was supposed to be actually clay, like dirt, isn't it? Where did it actually change from ashes to dirt? I don't know. Maybe you can be able to, you know, emphasize a little bit, because I know that when you go to funerals and they say ashes to ashes and dust to dust. But when the Lord made us, he took us out of the ground, which was supposed to be dirt, clay. So how did the ashes turn to, how does the clay or dirt turn to ashes? This is just a question, maybe.
I've never thought on that. That's indeed something to further study into, and thank you for bringing that to my attention.
Because I believe that a lot of people that made the decision, like Brother Dick had just shared, a lot of people do it because they don't have the money to be able to bury them. But a lot of the doctrinal belief of people that burn their loved one, because they believe is releasing their soul for the purpose of incarnation. And they also believe that that's the way how they will be purified, because they don't believe in Jesus. Or they don't believe that Christ will be the one purifying. So that is some kind of way for them to be able to purify themselves before they take on whatever circumstances that they believe they keep coming back and things like that. So that is just me personal. When the person gonna make a decision concerning how to be able to be buried, some people do it because of money. Some people do it because it's the easy way. But the thing about it is that just like we have to go into the Word of God for every truth, if we look and search in the Word of God and it has anything to be able to support what it is that is in your impression or you're being moved by God to do so, it's just like everything we have to do to the law and to the testimony. If you see that there is something that supports that, just be very careful. In what way? Because a lot of the funeral homes and a lot of the different burial places, all of them have a belief. Sometimes people will share their belief by the way how they, you know, give you whatever it is that you want to buy, you know. But the whole thing about it is that as Bible believers, we have to look and see how the Lord thinks about that. You know, this is just my personal conviction.
Thank you, dear sister. We appreciate your comments. Are there any other comments on this topic or any other topic that you'd like to bring up, dear ones? Please feel free to do so.
I'd like to share a song called Nailed to the Cross. There was one who was willing to die in my stead, that is so worthy my live. And the path to the cross, he was willing to tread, all the sins of my life to forgive. They are nailed to the cross, they are nailed to the cross, oh how much he was willing to bear. With what anguish and love, Jesus went to the cross, and he carried my sins with him there. He is tender and loving and patient with me while he cleanses my heart of its dross. But there's no condemnation. I know I am free, for my sins are all nailed to the cross. They are nailed to the cross. They are nailed to the cross. Oh, how much he was willing to bear. With what anguish and loss, Jesus went to the cross, and he carried my sins with him there. I will cling to my Savior and never depart. I will joyfully journey each day. With a song on my lips and a song in my heart that my sins have been taken away. They are nailed to the cross, they are nailed to the cross, oh how much he was willing to bear. With what anguish and loss, Jesus went to the cross, and he carried my sins with him there. Amen.
I would also like to share a song. It's called Shall You, Shall I. Someone will enter the pearly gates. By and by, by and by, taste of the glories that there await. Shall I? Someone will travel the street of gold. Beautiful vision will there behold. Feast on the pleasure so long foretold. Shall I? Someone will gladly his crown lay down. By and by. Faithful approved shall receive a crown. Shall I? Someone the glorious king will see. Ever from sorrow and earth be free. Happy with him through eternity. Shall I? Someone will knock when the door is shut. By and by. Hear a voice saying, I know you not. Shall I? Someone will call and shall not be heard. Vainly will strive when the door is barred. Someone will fail of the same rewards. Shall I? Someone will sing the triumphant song. By and by. Join in the praise with the blood brought down. Shall I? Someone will greet on the golden shore. Loved ones on earth who have gone before. Safe in the glory forevermore. Shall I?
Thank you, Brother Dick and Sister Elaine, for the quote on Wycliffe. Is Great Controversy, page 95, paragraph 2. Brother Wins, I want to thank you for fellowshipping with us on this beautiful Sabbath. Thank you for all of your comments. Thank you for all of the insights that have been shared and giving us a lot of material to study through and to think over and to seek to understand. Dear ones, I pray that you will now go with God, that his face will shine upon you throughout this next week, that his countenance will be lifted up on you, and that he will give you peace, especially the internal peace that passeth all understanding in your hearts. Continue to look up and become changed. And I want to leave you with a scripture song. This is Psalm 71, 1-3. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation. Whereunto I may continually resort, thou hast given commandment to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Psalm 71, 1-3. May God bless, dear ones, and looking forward to fellowshipping with you again soon.